And joining me in the KRVS studios this afternoon are Elsa Demetriadis and Andrew Lee Vincent. Sometimes you just have too much talent in one room.
I know, and you're here too. So it's
right?
This looks like an incredibly astonishing play that the two of you all are putting together between the Tea Sippers Theatre Company and Wanderlust Productions. You all are joining forces and energies and enthusiasms and just a whole lot of fun to put on Peter and the Star Catcher, a play by Rick Elise. And that opens next week, May 24th, and that will be at the Acadiana Center for the Arts. So I know that there's a lot of collaboration going on.
Yes.
It seems like a lot of you who all started these wonderful theater groups, some at a very young age, the Tea Sippers, and some bringing
younger,
and Wanderlust Productions coming from it's really hard to describe your beginnings. You all were doing puppetry. You all were doing original productions. Mm-hmm. You were just experimenting very creatively. And now I think some of these smaller groups are beginning to realize what fun it would be to collaborate and join your very special talents that you all have and skills. So let's talk just a bit about that, because I know the Hive Theater has been very involved in collaboration, and you all have been working on that. And what is it about collaboration these days?
Well, I know Brady had been, who was in Wanderlust, Brady McKellar, mm-hmm. had been in two of Andrew's shows. And then Andrew and I are quite close personally. Mm-hmm. And it just seemed sort of a natural consequence. Mm-hmm. And then, yes, we all sort of are on the Hive board together. In addition to several other people, there's eight of us. And it just, I don't know, it's a lovely synergy when it works.
Well, and it's not that it is new. I don't mean to make it sound like nobody ever collaborated before.
Right.
But it seems to be really gathering in strength and creativity and just what a set of talents you all have, both as writers, actors, directors. You bring so many things to this collaboration.
I think the companies needed time to establish their identities, mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. say not necessarily like create their own space, but just say, hey, this is what I think we're good at. Mm-hmm. And this is clearly what you guys are good at. And then so when a project comes up, then it just seems better to have more people than
right.
try to do it by yourself.
It's like a theatrical maturity you all have.
Yeah, we're really very fortunate in the community. I mean, there are these people who we wanted to do this show. And so Elsa and I talked for a long time about, well, who do we put in the cast? It's a 12-person cast. And we were thinking, well, what if we could get all of the directors in town and some of the most prominent actors in town mm-hmm. all together to do this show? Mm-hmm. That would be great. And we were like, well, that's crazy. That's never going to happen. And it happened, and everyone signed on to do it, and it's happening. And
Without even knowing who they were playing, it was really lovely.
Well, that is a credit to you all then, isn't it?
Maybe, or at least just their, fearlessness.
Mm-hmm. I think mm-hmm. it's a lot of excitement to be in the same room with all of these people at once. Every rehearsal, you sort of look around, and you're like, Duncan is here, and Scott is here, and Vince is here, and Travis is here, and all these people are here. And normally we're never in the same room together mm-hmm. ever mm-hmm. because we're all doing separate things. And so we feel really, really lucky.
Yeah.
And you can feel that in the room
absolutely.
When the rehearsals are going.
It really feels like the celebrities of local
theater
are collected here. Well, in addition to the fact that you all are bringing so many talented people together in one production, the production itself is astonishing. Mm-hmm. Peter and the Star Catcher, such a lovely, lovely title to begin with. Tell us about that. Many people in our audience do know the play, but there are probably many who don't know much about it. So what is so lovely about this play that drew the two of you all to want to produce it?
I think the idea of ensemble work was mm-hmm. the first thing. First of all, the script is beautiful. The lines, the imagery, the settings, and the characters, they're all so fun, so round, so big. And there's a million ways to go with these characters. But the ensemble work was, I think, what we were attracted to the most, because we knew we were hoping that we could get all of these people together and how much fun it would be to sort of create this show together. And you were talking about collaboration earlier, and Elsa's really great about doing that sort of thing, and I like to do that sort of thing too, where we bring the actors in and we block it and we work it, but everyone's throwing something new in every single time, and you're creating something. I mean, every single rehearsal has been laughs in new places. I mean, just yesterday, we're just laughing at each other from offstage even still. And I think we, when reading the script, could sort of see, oh, this would be like these people would be perfect in this. We could really breathe some life into this. Mm-hmm. It's a prequel to Peter Pan. It's supposed to be how Peter Pan became Peter Pan, and sort of where all of those characters and those elements of the original Peter Pan story came from. And so it's a cast of almost completely new characters that you've never met. There are a few characters that people will recognize from Peter Pan or from Peter and Wendy, which is actually what it's a prequel of. It's hilarious. I mean, it's so – I don't know. Take it
well,
over.
I'm rambling. To describe it as a prequel makes it sound like it's just maybe an ordinary story, but absolutely not. I mean, it's like Tinkerbell and everybody else just exploded into a bunch of starry performances.
Well, I think also the aesthetic that Wanderlust and Teasipper share is sort of an aesthetic of making things happen out of nothing. Mm-hmm. And what's the very best way to tell the story and not over-tell the story. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of people just pick something up and turn it into this. And then, you know, three scenes later, that stool becomes something entirely different. You know, there's a puppet, if you will, at one point, which is very much not a puppet and made out of basically household items. And so so there's that sort of aesthetic that we share that we've been able to really bring to the table.
Well, I'm glad you made that point about aesthetic, because I've observed your aesthetic over the years, and it's remarkable. It's original. Your passion for theater, your determination to create good quality theater, and not just good quality theater, but something magical that happens on stage. I mean, you truly believe that about the transformative nature of what goes on stage. And that's always been a delight when talking with you all about what you do. And this sounds like that just brings all of it to bear in this production.
And it is so much fun. You know, I do block it. But a lot of times I say, hey, these are the problems. Can you guys just solve it? Mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. Let's see what happens. I mean, you all are so gifted and so seasoned, and many of you are directors, but many of you are actors. So figure it out and let's see what we can do here, mm-hmm. you know.
So you wouldn't exactly call that improv, but it's
it is definitely improvisational. Mm-hmm. And I mean, even last night, I mean, really, like they stop rehearsal because they're laughing at each other so much. And it's just, and what's nice, this happened the other night, you know, I was giving notes and I said, well, you know, tell me what you felt about it. And suddenly people were complimenting each other's performances. You know, they said it's such a treat to be able to be on stage with you. Mm-hmm. And I mean, mm-hmm. that rarely happens, yeah, I think, in notes during rehearsal, you know. Mm-hmm. So,
well, again, as I said, a credit to your passion for theater and the years you all have put in this community, creating a body of rich work. And of course, you all are delighted to be together and happy to revel in what you all are doing on stage. Can you give us the names of the others who are participating?
Yes. So it's a cast of 12, and it's Vince Barra and Donovan Derrick, Scott Gremillon, Travis Guillory, Atiana Wright. She's our only female woman. Eric Schneider, Josiah Price, Philip Spear, Brady McKellar, Danny Ladmereau, Andrew, and Duncan Thistlewaite.
All right. So is it like, are these the Lost Boys before they became the Lost Boys?
Or some of them are.
There's
Lost also
Boys.
Pirates, mermaids.
Islanders.
Yes.
fish.
So lots of transformation going on here.
Absolutely. Doors. Okay. Shrieking cats.
Well, tell us about this production. It's written by Rick Elise.
Yes. What
is the background of this story and his background? I mean, this sounds sort of magical, like The Tempest or something. You know, like there are things going on.
It is very Tempest-like. Mm-hmm.
Thanks mm-hmm. for saying that. We're going to start using that.
Absolutely. It might be a tagline.
Elevate you all to Shakespeare.
So it's based on a series of books that was written, you know, obviously after Peter Pan. And like Andrew said, it's sort of how Peter Pan became Peter Pan. Why is he the everlasting boy, you know, the boy who never grew up? And how did Neverland get its name? And really even, you know, the story of the pirates, why the Lost Boys continue to exist. It's just... It's lovely. It's fast. It was written. It's a Disney production.
Yeah, that's right.
But it's very pared down. They made a very conscious effort. They gave a bunch of actors a bunch of props and they said, figure out how to tell this story. And they really kept that, although they could have obviously, like, you know, budgeted hugely, they opted to kind of keep it just not overwrought story.
Mm-hmm. It was sort of remarkable when it moved to Broadway. I think it sort of surprised people because it was just ropes and crates and people pretending to run while they're running in place and diving and not really diving and things that are very Shakespearean and very even vaudevillian in lots of ways. Mm-hmm. And again, those are our – that's our aesthetic, both mm-hmm. that we share that yeah. likeness. And the other thing was the real story, the real message of the piece, which is – I mean, there are so many, but the not wanting to grow up, not wanting what you love to end, and trying to find yourself. And it's really so lovely because the entire time that we're rehearsing, we're playing, we're creating, it feels like you're 7, 8 years old in the backyard again. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. it feels like
you have to do that, I think, in order for it to be successful.
And it makes it so real. It makes it so mm-hmm. true. You know, mm-hmm. you're I think all of us are transformed back to those moments where we're just playing and having fun. And that's what makes it so pure, I think, is because you're actually playing the entire time and you're trying to, I don't know, connect with that inner child mm-hmm. again. And that's what mm-hmm. makes it,
you're
I think.
Becoming that story. And I'm so glad you use that because I think all of us have those memories of playing with either siblings or friends. And you enter into this story and everybody has their part.
Exactly.
And no one's directing it really. Mm-hmm. But you've become that story. You've become those characters. And, you know, whether it's lost children, lost boys, superheroes, or whatever the story is, you completely are transformed in that play. And you all sound like you're doing the same thing on stage.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And the 12 actors rarely, if ever, leave the stage. Mm-hmm. So a lot of the time, they're just sort of on the side of the stage watching each other perform. Mm-hmm. And that's a really lovely thing. You know, I looked over the other night and 4 of them were sitting against the wall just genuinely enjoying each other's pretend game, you mm-hmm. know. Mm-hmm. It's a play with music. So there are 4 actors who actually play music on stage, mm-hmm. and everyone sings at some time or another.
Mm-hmm.
So and dance.
If you're finding yourself charmed by the description of this play, my guests are Elsa Dimitriadis and Andrew Lee Vincent. Elsa is the director of Peter and the Star Catcher by Rick Elise, and Andrew plays a variety of transformed.
I do. I play quite a variety.
And creatures and people, and.
And I play an orphan who. Goes on a journey and just somehow discovers himself.
And so are you the main orphan? Are you the main?
Yeah, I would say okay. He was the main orphan.
All right.
I don't know about the main orphan.
Does the orphan have a name in the Peter?
He does later attach himself to the name of
okay,
Peter, helped
right.
by the help with the help of a very disgusting and cruel pirate.
Yes.
Whose name we shan't mention.
No,
we don't want jazz hands and a lot of screaming going on.
Okay, the pirate who shall not be named.
Yeah.
Who plays this disgusting pirate, or is that for later?
Brady McKellar plays that disgusting pirate.
Oh, I don't know why you chose him. the play will open next week, and it's going to be at the Acadiana Center for the Arts.
Yes, it is.
So wonderful sound there, and you mentioned that there's music mm-hmm. for this play. What kind of music? How would you describe the music? Is it a music original to the play itself?
It is. Yes. And mm-hmm. what's odd is that each piece is very different from the other pieces. It's a motley group of works. And mm-hmm. and even we've sort of struggled with that. But it kind of is true to the rest of the aesthetic. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, what would be the perfect song for this number with no consideration for any music that's come before, you know? And it seems to work. So I think that they're enjoying them. Some of the actors are very used to being, or, you know, seasoned mm-hmm. musical theater actors, and some aren't. And they're just giving way to that.
There's mm-hmm. there's a mermaid number at the top of Act Two where all
you keep
of,
mentioning mermaids.
All
you
must
really like this part.
And Etiana are mermaids, and if you don't want to see the show, but if you don't like Peter Pan, you just have to come to the ACA to see everybody dressed as mermaids in this 3-minute
it's
number
wonderful.
At the top of Act Two.
I can't see it enough, honestly.
All right. Well, it sounds like you have more on this stage than just ropes.
Oh, yes.
Yes. Okay.
Yes.
Who's your costume designer?
We're sort of handling it collectively okay. mm-hmm. Between Wanderlust and Tea Sippers, and then the myriad of actors. Everybody sort of has what we need for the show. Mm-hmm. We made a concerted effort to be as sustainable with the show as possible. That was something that the original production sort of asked. And so we've sort of tried to stay true to that. I don't know.
Again, yeah. kind of like kids at play, pulling things out of the costume basket.
It's not like – it's exactly,
exactly like that. The sails are actually some fabric that hangs outside at Vermilionville and is completely weathered. And I was like, why should we make something that looks like this when we could just borrow it for a week? You know?
Found art. Found theater. You have a Facebook page. People can go there for more information.
Mm-hmm.
But do they just look up Peter and the Starcatcher and it should
pop
up?
If they look up Peter and the Starcatcher, it should come up.
And it's for all ages. Kids really enjoy it. Of course, there's like other level jokes for adults, but it's really fun for the whole family.
All right. Well, what's been the most challenging thing for you as a director? Because you mentioned, I block some things, but then it sounds like things are just happening, like magic dust is being sprinkled everywhere. And
I would say for me, it's keeping track of 12 people on stage at the same
time. Become 100 different things.
And then ask me, where am I right now?
Yeah.
And I have to seem like I'm in command, but my honest answer is I have no idea where you are.
Where you are in this narrative right now.
You go from being a pirate to being a mermaid in 2.5 seconds to being an islander in 4 minutes to, you know, and it's just constant. I mean, the show does not stop, which makes it even more fun because the energy is just up and up and up and up. Mm-hmm. And then there are these beautiful moments where things get a little serious for a second where your heart just melts. Mm-hmm. And then you get more excited again. And it's just, it's a roller coaster. It's really great.
It really is.
Again, Peter and the Starcatcher, my guests, Elsa Dimitriadis and Andrew Lee Vincent, are in this very collaborative production. It is a co-production of the Tea Sippers Theater Company and Wanderlust Productions, but it sounds like you have people from various backgrounds and experiences involved in this play, and a lot of richness of talent and experience.
Absolutely.
In the play.
And it happened organically. You know, people would come up to us and say, I happen to have a ship wheel. Do you need to borrow it? And okay, great.
Yes,
we do.
We can make use of this ship wheel. You're going to have people calling you up after this interview. And you're just saying, I have.
No, we don't want anything. We don't want
everything.
Any of your things. We're trying to get rid of everything.
Yes. Andrew needs help.
I really need help.
All right. Well, are you going to have like a giveaway at the end of the
last
production?
I'm not ready
production?
To let go yet, I don't think.
But okay. You won't do that.
I'll let you know.
All right. So it opens on May 24th.
There's six performances. There are two performances on Saturday, a matinee and an evening performance, and then another matinee on Sunday. We open on Wednesday, so Wednesday through Sunday.
All right. And is the best way to get tickets at the door or go to the ACA website? Or
AcadianaCenterForTheArts.com.
Mm-hmm. You can just show up there before.
Call the number.
Yeah, and you can buy tickets at the front desk as well, but I'd call and reserve.
All right. Well, I'm just remembering again, Elsa, running into you and Brady somewhere in Lafayette, and you were just beaming. The two of you were just beaming, and I thought, you could just take a photograph of these two right here, and that would be the best PR for this show, that your joy and passion for theater, and particularly this production, is just very evident.
And we just come from a four-hour rehearsal, and when does that ever happen?
Didn't look weary at all.
It's on the inside.
Well, thank you so much for your years of pleasure and joy you've given us on the stage. And we're grateful to have this opportunity to enjoy Peter and the Starcatcher.
We're thankful for you and KRVS.
Thank you so much.
We are a channel for all this great talent. Again, for more information, Facebook, that's the best place, really. All right. And I think you all individually may have websites as well if people would like to look up your individual theater companies. Again, thank you both, Elsa Dimitriadis with Wanderlust Production Company and Andrew Lee Vincent with and founder of the Tea Sippers Theater Company. Thank you both.
Thank you.